Peter is talking about his own days, just like our days. We're living in days like Peter. Prophetically speaking, the Lord is coming back again. Now, if we really are living in the last days, then what manner of people are we to be? We are to be what? Holy people.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has served the Lord for almost 50 years. He knows that he's never been perfect in this life, but he's fully committed to honoring God with holiness and obedience. For inspiration from Raul's lifelong spiritual journey, visit SomebodyLovesYouRadio.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's story. Well, today, Raul, we'll continue our series in 1 Peter with an insightful word about all of our lives as end times believers. You'll see that in these days of increasing hostility toward the gospel, there really is no room for compromise when it comes to faith. Stay with us for a challenge to fully commit to following the Lord as you choose an uncompromising path of holiness. Let's join Raul Reese now for part two of today's lesson. We'll start in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now you notice, first of all, that he gives you the freedom of what? Choice. If anybody. He's not saying, "Now you got to be a disciple of Christ." No, if anyone comes after me. In order for me to come after Jesus Christ, I have to desire him. Or else I won't come to him. Why would I want to come to him? So Jesus said, if you really want to be a disciple, what is the first qualification? He said what? Deny yourself. That's very hard for any one of us. Because we all like attention. You know what the word deny means? It means to forget about one's desires. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. There has to be a denying of yourself to follow Jesus Christ, which means you've got to become nothing. Nothing. Secondly, what does he say? And take up his cross. Wow. You know what the cross is? Whenever you get a chance, read up on the cross. You'll blow your mind. If I'm to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, the cross, listen to this, the cross is the instrument of death. Are you willing to die to yourself? Imagine if you had to get up every morning. Like years ago in the 70s, there was a guy that would carry a cross all over America. He carried the cross all over America. Imagine if you had to go before you went to your car, you picked up a cross, put it in your car, you got out to go to the office, you get the cross, you go to the cross. Everywhere you went, take your cross. You know what people would do to you today? They would think you're crazy. Oh, picking up my cross and following Jesus Christ. But think about how the cross is so important. The cross was invented by the Persians. The Persians are the ones that started crucifying. And then the Romans adapted to it. And what's incredible, in the first century church, after Christ was put on the cross, Rome would crucify thieves. Imagine Jesus being in the center with two thieves, one on his right and one on his left. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there crucified, and he has never done anything wrong. He's been judged wrongly. But what did he do? He denied himself. And he went to the cross. To give us an illustration, to give us what? To show us that he was willing in the Garden of Gethsemane, he made up his mind, not my will, but thy will be done. I will do whatever you want me to do, Father. That's what we need. That's what we need to follow Christ. These are the days to do it. Because then, he says, if you deny yourself, then you can take up your cross. Then he said what? Follow me. Then you can follow. And then he said something else. Verse 25. For whosoever desires to save his life. What do people do today? It's all about self. They want to save their lives. They don't want to lose their lives. He says what? You'll lose it. Literally, what he's saying, if you don't follow Jesus Christ and you do whatever you please today, at the end, you're going to end up in hell. You're going to lose your life eternally. But if you lose your life now, then in time to come, you'll gain it. It's eternal. This is temporal. Everything's going to burn one day. Your body will go back to the earth because it's earthly, but your soul and your spirit is what goes to heaven or what goes to hell. And so he goes on and he says what? He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, notice my sake, capital M, will find it. Or what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? So you get millions of dollars, you have hundreds of women, you have hundreds of men, you got it all, man. The house, the cars, everything. And you're happy. You say you're happy, but you're not really. Think of people that have everything, they're unhappy. But they pretend. You talk to them, oh man, yeah, everything's so cool. So nice. He says what? Check this out. He says, what profit to a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Think about that for a moment. What do people exchange their soul for? Many things. The soul, why? Because that's the most important thing. That's the only thing you'll be able to take to heaven or to hell. Your body will go back into the earth. That's why in Peter chapter 4, verse 7, Peter is desperate and he's talking to a suffering church and he's saying, you guys, listen, they were being tortured, man. It was a heavy time. And Peter is saying, you guys, get your eyes and your hope in Christ. He soon is coming. He's going to come. And even though they were persecuted, prosecuted, and they were killed, what happened? Like in the old, they went to heaven. Can you imagine being there in the arena and your children and your grandchildren being separate and thrown into the lion's den? Watching them being devoured? But if you're a Christian, yeah, it would hurt, but you know what? You're going to be with them forever. That's just the bottom line. So it's really important for us to make up our minds whether we want to have one foot in the world, one foot in Christ, then you're going to have a split personality. You're not going to be sold out. God can't use you the way he wants to use you. Read the book of Corinthians. He wrote to the Corinthian church because they were carnal people. What do carnal people do? Divisions. They're always fighting, arguing. And they never really, truly believe in God's word. They compromise with their friends, with their families. I mean, how many times have I walked into restaurants, somebody is drinking wine or a beer, and they see me coming, and they get freaked out. I'm not God or the Holy Spirit. You can drink whatever you want to drink. And yet, think about this. Think how many people in the church are social drinkers. When the Bible says that what? Wine is what? Is a mocker. Why? Because you're not in control. Think of how many people are alcoholics. How about drugs? Sex? All these things that Paul talked about and the Lord is coming soon, and yet people in the church are not ready to meet the Lord in the air. Why? Look at their lives. their lives are not right with Jesus Christ. They don't have a crucified life. Read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. It'll blow you away. Reckoning the old man to be dead. It's really important what Peter is saying here. Why? Because Peter is talking about his own days. Just like our days. We're living in days like Peter. Prophetically speaking, the Lord is coming back again. Now, if we really are living in the last days, then what manner of people are we to be? We are to be what? Holy people. Be you holy, for I am holy. Hebrews chapter 14, 10, he says, no one will ever see the Lord apart from holiness. Wow. Christians in the early church expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. As the church today, we're expecting the Lord to come back. There are more signs today that have been fulfilled prophecies than ever before. In Romans 13, 12, he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice the exhortation Paul gives to the church. Get rid of the darkness, put on the light. 1 John 2, 18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now there are many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is, what? The last hour. That was 1900 years ago. Why? Because one day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like one day to the Lord. God doesn't live in a timetable. He's going to come when everything according to the divine prophecy will be done. And Israel is one of the greatest signs of all signs. It's going to be a done deal. God's in control. And we are the church for the last 1900 years. And the church is going to be taken out of the way so that God can deal with Israel. So we're living in pretty exciting times. And yet look what's happening at this very moment, not only in America, look at the nations of the world. The financial bankruptcies. Like no time in history we're living. What's the second thing? How about the wars? Everything is in the east. And Jesus says, when you see all these things, know that summer is near. And yet, the Lord is calling out. He's warning. And he's saying, I'm coming quickly, you guys. Get ready. Because time is short. And I'm not trying to be negative in any way, but I want you, the church, to know the truth about Jesus Christ. That these are not the days to be sleeping or to be playing games with God. Because when that trumpet sounds, the moment it sounds, the Bible says what? We're going to be caught up together to be with them in the clouds. And it's a done deal. And if you're not taken when the sound of the trumpet sounds, you will become a tribulation saint. If you make it. Because if you can't make it now, while we're living by faith and God is doing so many things, how are you going to live when you see the Antichrist and he says, you can't buy, you can't eat, you can't play, you can't do nothing unless you have my identity mark in your right hand or your forehead. And if you don't, I'm going to cut your head off. Revelation 13 says that. And the false prophet will back him up. So Peter has this urgency. Why? He's been with Jesus. Just like John the Beloved in Revelation 22, 20, he says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. That should be our prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Why? I'm ready, Lord. But if you're not ready, you see, then there's no peace in your life. Because you're playing in the world and you're playing in the church. You're not really fully committed to what God called you to do. And that is to know him intimately. To know him as your Lord and your Savior fully and completely. The church today needs a real revival like back in the 70s. A real revival. Not just a movement. You know what happens when revival comes? When revival comes, even in the 1800s, 1700s, with Moody, Finney, When Finney was preaching and having revival, a lot of the nightclubs, a lot of the bars, man, they closed down. And people were not being arrested. There was a real move in the cities. When real revival comes, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit does, it transforms people's lives. And there's a change. And there's a hunger and a thirst for God and His Word. To know Him intimately like never before. And that's why I am praying, just like Peter here. In verse 7, he said what? But the end of all things is at hand. The word end here is the word teleos in Greek. It's a very important word. It means a consummation or a good time to remember that everything is coming to an end. This is it. This is a word that is used by John the Baptist in Matthew 3:2. And then also Jesus used it in Matthew 4:17. And then James uses it as an expression of relationship to the Lord's return in James 5:8. So all the way through, this word is used about the end of the world. And yet it is costly to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is no cheap grace. Remember that. No cheap grace. It's real grace. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We come by faith to Jesus Christ, period. And yet people that are playing in the church and outside of the church, they never really have peace in their lives. And guess what? Your testimony is not good. Because people that know you, friends and loved ones, they'll never come to Christ because they call you a hypocrite. It's really important for all of us to understand this. Because these are days when we go to work, when we go to play, wherever we go, we don't have to preach. Our lives will speak louder than anything else. People will see Christ in you, man. They'll see the Holy Spirit. Because they'll see you making a stand. Making a stand. The reason Dale and I, a lot of us, had to cut off our friends is because they're drinking, they're taking drugs. We don't want to be around stuff like that. That was our life before. They know what we stand for. And there's things that I don't do in my life because I don't want to get trapped and I don't want to bring a bad testimony to the church or to my family, but most important, to the Lord. So I'm very careful. I recognize, being in war, I recognize that this world has a lot of booby traps. A lot of minefields. You have to be careful where you step. Why? Because the devil, he's like a roaring lion trying to eat up every one of us he can. He wants to blow you up. He wants to get you good like never before. So we need to understand that if the Lord is really going to come back soon, then we need to change our behavior. The way we talk, the way we do things as Christians. Because if we don't, it's like your parents or your grandparents or son or daughter say, well, you know what, mom and dad, I really haven't seen it change your life. But how many times I hear the testimony, my mom and dad, man, are amazing. They've changed. They're fanatics now. That's a good word. Yep, I'm a fanatic for Christ. But you don't take the gospel and shove it down people's throats. You don't do that. Live for Christ, and Christ will live through you. You'll blow your mind. And Peter was in a place where he knew, remember, who's Peter? He's the one that denied the Lord. Can you imagine that? He's telling these guys, the Lord's coming, but I deny the Lord. 3 times, you guys. I mean, is it believable? There was a change on the day of Pentecost. Peter was never the same. He was transformed. He became born again of the Holy Spirit. He stood up and he said, men of Galilee, remember the big old speech he gave? In chapter 2, the baptism comes, and then he gets up in verse 14, and he tells them exactly, he gives an exegesis of everything that's taken place biblically, so they'll know that God is not the author of confusion. Everything that's happened was already in the Old Testament, and now it's fulfillment. When you live a life of holiness before God, then people will listen to you. They'll listen to you because you got something to say. But if they see you here, they see you there, and they hear the things that you're doing, guess what? There's no respect for you. Husbands, dads, make a stand tonight. Moms, make a stand tonight. Sons and daughters, make a stand. Be holy, for I am holy, he says. No one will ever see the Lord apart from holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. Let me read the verse, what he says. Check this out. Verse 7. That the end of all things is at hand. And then he says this. Therefore, that starts now to tell you, this is why I'm telling you this. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Three things. Notice, serious, watchful, and praying. Three things, he says, that need to be done. We need to be what? We need to be serious with God. That word serious there literally means, it means soundness of mind or sound in judgment in the Greek. Make sure that you are sound of mind. Your mind is clear because you're reading, you're praying, you're attending church, you're doing what's right. It has to be real. People have to be real. There are so many people that are going to hell, and we need to reach out to them and pull them in before it's too late. And I'm not talking people in the streets. I'm talking about your family, your friends that need Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is at hand. He's coming soon. We need to look up for our redemption throughout the night. And it's so cool, man. I love it. I like to look up and say, Lord, when are you going to come?
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. If you'd like to hear today's program again, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a gift of any amount. To obtain that, just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the latest lesson from Roel's First Peter series. We'd like to remind you that Somebody Loves You Radio is here because of your faithful prayers and financial support. It's through your tax-deductible gifts that Roel is able to continue encouraging the body of Christ all over the world. Well, serving as a living witness for Christ isn't easy, but we'd like to assist you in this goal with a Bible-based resource titled Walking in the Flesh. As you make the daily choice to pursue a life of uncompromising holiness, this four-message audio series will provide you with practical support. In each of these lessons, you'll explore the subtle dangers of common pitfalls and to shore up your faith with daily time in the Word and in prayer. Place your order for Rawl's four-part audio study titled Walking in the Flesh and find out the visible difference between carnal Christians and believers who are truly devoted to Christ. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this CD collection for a gift of just $19 or more. Our phone number again is 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order the resource by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd also like to invite you to join Rawl and Sharon for a 2019 Footsteps of Paul, a GNC cruise. This will be a faith-building adventure of a lifetime you won't want to miss. Start planning and saving now to sail through time and experience ports of call in cities where Paul ministered on his missionary journeys from Athens to Corinth to Rome. The dates are April 1st through April the 11th, 2019. To get more information, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com and click on the tab for the 2019 Footsteps of Paul cruise. Well, on behalf of all of us at Somebody Loves You Radio, thanks for listening this week. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll spend time with the body of Christ in worship on Sunday. And join us again on Monday as we continue in our verse-by-verse study of 1 Peter. We'll get guidance for honoring God in these spiritually turbulent last days. Here's Rawl now with the final word.
Think of all the chances, all the opportunities that God has given to you and He's given to you again over and over. Places where you could have got hurt, you could have got killed, and yet God was there with you. We're still here. Why? Because God has a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. When he's done, I told him, Lord, take me. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to stay here as long as you use my life. When he's done, I'm done. I don't want to be here. This is not my home. Even though I have beautiful granddaughters and grandson and my sons and my wife, I want to be with the Lord. That's what I'm looking to be with Jesus Christ and looking to, for them to come along in the future to be with us in the Lord. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven? When we're all there together in the presence of the Lord and we're hearing the words, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Because we serve a holy God and we are a holy people.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.